Good morning. It is good to see everyone today. There's a lot of visiting going on in the back, and we like that. That's okay. I hope everybody has had a chance to greet one another and greet our guest. It's kind of a rainy day, but we're glad that you're here, that you've come to worship together, and I know at the end of the day you will be glad that you were here to fellowship and to be with one another in worship. Jeff is not here today. He and our teenagers and their sponsors, chaperones, are up at Ridgecrest at the annual PMBA Fall Youth Retreat. So as I spoke with them before I came in here, they were wrapping up things, breaking down the stage and the sound equipment, all of that, and they will be on the road shortly. So if you would continue to pray for them as they travel. And lives change and everything else happens at fall retreat, and we want to continue to pray for those teenagers who've experienced that time together in their journey, in their spiritual journey. I would ask you, in terms of a housekeeping item, there are the pew pads there on the end, and if you would just kind of sign up as you go down there and pass that back to the where it started, and whoever is there where it starts, if you would tear those pages off that have been used to help our ushers out this morning. They'll come by at the conclusion service, so we'll know that you've been here. If you're a guest with us, if you don't mind signing the pew pad as well, that will let us know you've been here, and we can get you more information about College Park. We won't badger you. We won't stalk you or any of that stuff, but we will let you know more about the church, and again, we're excited that you're here as a part of what's going on this morning. We will be back Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Be no family night supper, but we'll be back in here at 7 o'clock Wednesday night for our Thanksgiving Eve service. It's a very meaningful service. It's the first time I've been able to be a part of it for several years now, but my family's all coming this way this year for Thanksgiving, so I'm glad to be here with you Wednesday night. We'll have communion together. It's a meaningful service. I invite you to come and bring your neighbor. If they're not having anywhere to go for Thanksgiving service, bring them, come with us as we share communion together. Krista has a couple announcements. I've limited her to 30 seconds. It's like Congress. The speaker gives you 30 seconds.
That's about the time to walk up there. Well, we have several things coming up that sort of need you to let me know if you're able to participate. We're looking forward to the candle tea coming up. If you would like to go with our group, just let me know so we'll provide for that. And it's in the bulletin. And caring for the caregiver. If you are interested in coming and being a part of that, if you're caring for somebody or you know somebody, please let me know. We'll provide a meal and also some wonderful information from some ladies that are coming to be with us. And also, Christmas without them, just want to take a note on that we invite you to come if you've lost anybody at any time, and that Christmas is difficult for you as well as joyful. So just be sure. It'd be nice if you let us know, but you don't have to. It just helps in planning. Thank you. Thank you for that minute.
Do you have any announcements? Book club?
Book club tomorrow night.
Okay. All right. Very good. Anybody else have any announcements? Okay. Well, good. We're glad, as we mentioned, we're glad to always to have guests with us. Our ushers are going to come down the aisle at this time. And as they return back down the aisle, if you're a guest with us, and you don't mind if you just kind of slip up your hand just to where they can see it or maybe catch their eye, and they've got some information they'd like to give you about College Park. There's a copy of our latest highlight mail out that we send out about ministry opportunities here at College Park, and we're glad to have you receive that. Be sure, members, notice where our guests are and extend a warm welcome to them. So we come together as the body, and we have announcements and things like that of things that are going on, but our primary purpose is to worship together, and we acknowledge that. We're excited that you're here and invite you now, as we are called into worship, to begin that time, if you haven't already, of opening your heart, preparing your heart to receive what God is going to teach us today.
Kingdom be established in the
Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, it is good to be in this place this morning. Lord, to be able to set aside those things that are on our hearts and our minds. Lord, those things that we've brought with us that perhaps are weighing us down. Lord, and to lay them at your feet. Lord, we come to worship because you are an almighty God. A God who cares for us, who loves us, who gave himself for us. Lord, as we come into worship, Lord, help us to lay those things aside. Lord, help us not to pick them back up again when we leave. But Lord, let us give all of those things, as well as ourselves, to you this morning. Open our hearts, open our minds, help us to hear what you would have us to hear this morning. And Lord, help us to leave this place knowing that we have met with you and are changed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jeff is not here, obviously, and we're going to talk this morning about sheep and goats. Duh. What? Do you know anything about sheep? Do you know anything about sheep other than the fact that they're adorable? Aw. What else do you know about sheep other than the fact they're adorable? What's that? They need shepherds. They do need shepherds. Pardon? God? Okay. Puppets, sheep don't sing. They sing very badly. You know what I mean? Yes. Yes. All right. Sheep are quite adorable, but they do need shepherds. She says they need shepherds. They really do need shepherds. You know, what do you know about goats?
A goat puppet.
A goat puppet. That's right. What do you know about goats? They do know how to do a headbutt. And I'll get to that in just a minute. That's a good point. They know how to do a headbutt. Yes, ma'am. They do eat everything. And that's a kind of a key to their survival. Did you know that? They don't need shepherds. They actually don't want shepherds. Here's the interesting thing about sheep and goats. During the daytime, they're out in the field together. But then they separate them. And in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus talks about how people will be separated like sheep and goats depending on how they have walked with Christ. Okay? Have they been a Christian? Have they lived like a Christian? And a lot of those type of things, all right? And what he's referring to is sheep need a shepherd. They're not self-dependent. They need a shepherd. They need someone to depend on and care for them, just like we need God and we depend on him, right? Goats aren't like that. You can leave a goat out there for 2 weeks and come back, and the goat's just fine. He's managed to live on his own. They're very independent. Matter of fact, mama goats will even butt the baby goats out of the way to get their food. I mean, they take care of themselves. It's all about them. And Jesus... I don't know. I guess it depends on how big it is. Yeah, the headbutt. That's right. They'll put a headbutt on them. But goats, we don't want to be like goats, because goats don't need people. They don't depend on people. They're a little bit too self-reliant for their own good. All right? Jesus says we want to be like sheep that depend on God and want to please God and are led by God. Okay? So if you had a choice, would you want to be a sheep or would you want to be a goat? Go. All right. Well, here's what we'll do. Here's what we'll do. If you want to be a sheep, you need to get on this side. All right. Y'all want to be sheep? You stay right where you are. All the people who want to be sheep, get right over here. And if you want to be a goat, then you need to get over here. Okay. Now, here, this is a teachable moment. People, stay with me here. Stay with me. For the sheep, I have a beautiful surprise. You get a baby sheep. The goats don't get anything. Because the lesson is about how we want to be like sheep. Now, he told you. Now, let me ask you a question. Do any of the goats want to change their mind and be a sheep? That's a good idea. Y'all come over here. That's a good idea. That's a great idea. There you go, buddy. Come on over and be a sheep. Come on over and be a sheep. Make daddy and mama proud. There we go. Anybody get a sheep? It is the sheep on hill. No, that's the lowly goat herd. Lady, oh, lady, oh, lady. Okay. All right. Everybody got a sheep? Okay. Shh. Let's pray and ask for God's help as we try to be more like sheep, okay? Let's pray. Gracious Father, we know that you desire the best for us and that you want us to depend on you and you want us to follow you. We pray for these precious children that as they grow up, that they would learn to be more like you and to follow you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Okay, y'all go back.
I thought maybe you were going to break into High on a Hill instead of Holy Goat. That was great. Oh, goodness. Well, actually, we're going to read about sheep from Ezekiel. If you'd like to join me, Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16, and 20 through 24. If you'd like to join in the Pew Bible or your own Bible. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he's with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and all the settlements in the land. I'll tend them in good pasture in the mountains. The heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will be fed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. And then, in verse 20, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you've driven them away. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them, because the Lord has spoken. Would you join me in prayer? Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we're reminded that you sent us a good shepherd, Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are so thankful for the ways that you lead us to find our rest in you, in the green pastures, beside the still waters, right when perhaps we need it the most. You nudge your children to that place of rest, of recovery from life when it gets very busy, or perhaps when that is needed to pull apart with you. Thank you, Father God, so much for pulling us unto yourself to those places. And thank you, Lord, for walking with us in the midst of life, in the midst of the busyness of all of our calling to serve you. For we are each called to serve, but each of us needs you as our shepherd. Thank you that when we are in the valley, when we find ourselves there down in the shadow, that you come with your gentle light, and you bear truth and goodness and peace, and you bear encouragement and strength, and you bless your children with everything that's needed to live their lives for you. We thank you that you are there to help us, and then you are there to lead us back to the mountain, into the light. You are there, Father, to lead us along rocky paths, along smooth paths, but regardless, you're always there. How wonderful it is to know that we will never, ever be without you, our good shepherd, and that you love all of your children and each one is special to your heart. So, Father, I pray that you would speak to us today and remind us that we are never alone, that we have the good shepherd who came into our lives to open the door from darkness to the light of salvation, from the darkness where some people find themselves today to that eternal comfort and light and strength. And Father, we know that you are there for us each step of the way. And we thank you so much that when we leave this earth, that we will walk right into that eternal home full of your light that's prepared for each of us. Thank you for being our good shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this season of the year where we pause to consider the many, many blessings that you have given us. We thank you for the physical provisions that we have for food, for shelter, for clothing. We thank you for the spiritual blessings that you give us through this church. We thank you for the encouragement that we feel here, the support and the love. We thank you for our worship leaders and for the sense of community we have. We pray that you will be with us in the coming week, that we will share our blessings with others and be a light for you. We pray that you will take the gifts that are given today and use them to bless our community and further your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
told you last week we would be in Matthew chapter 25 for a couple of weeks, and indeed we are. Do you remember what we talked about last week from Matthew chapter 25? That's right, the virgins, the wedding, and all of that. Yeah, we sure did. That's in the first 13 verses of Matthew chapter 25. And that's a good parable, and we learned a lot from that. We're going to actually skip the next one, but I want to give you just a thought about that. Verses 14 through 30 are the parable of the talents. Do you remember that story? How the master's going out of town, and he gives one servant five talents, and one two, and one one, and then what they do with that, and the one that only has one buries it in the ground and kind of gets scolded for that. And as I read about that, I thought, you know, I mean, I've heard a lot of sermons preached on it, and I've read a lot of commentary on it, but something kind of hit me a little bit different on that particular passage of Scripture this week. You know, if you read that and you take it in all that we know about what was going on in that, and the NIV has a note. I don't know if your Bible does, but the NIV in my Bible has a note on this verse 15. It says the talent was worth more than $1,000. You say, okay, that's helpful. I mean, at least it kind of gives a little bit of perspective. But another commentary I was reading this week was talking about the fact that, well, yeah, I mean, by modern standards, that may be what it's worth. But in the biblical time, you know, a talent was roughly equivalent to 20 years worth of pay for a day laborer. Well, it takes on a little bit different meaning now, doesn't it? 20 years worth of pay for a day laborer. So if you are a day laborer, if you're a servant or someone in that socioeconomic bracket, and you are entrusted with 20 years worth of money, what would you do with it? That's a lot of money. What would you do with it? I found myself a little bit more sympathetic with the guy that went out and dug a hole and buried it to make sure nothing happened to it. To be honest with you, I mean, before we were kind of conditioned to go, well, you know, he didn't invest that. He didn't do anything with that. Yeah, he did. He protected it. You know, and so it's an interesting perspective sometimes. We find ourselves in Scripture going, well, you know, I'm not sure I would have done differently. And so what is the lesson on that parable? Though there's multiple lessons, some of which are outlined very clearly in the last three or four verses of it. But what I came away with this time in reading it is that sometimes we try to hold on too tightly to the temporary, thinking, oh, I can't let anything happen to it. And we place our trust and we place our value. We get so stressed out about things that are quite temporary. Black Friday is dependent upon you placing your trust on things that are temporary. You know, they want you to come spend your money. They don't want you to be thankful. They want you to want more stuff. And so they offer more stuff at great deals for stuff that's quite temporary. A little bit different twist. And then we are led into and see that last week's parable and this parable on the talents leads us right into the parable we have for today. The text for today is verses 31 through 46. And again, we've already kind of prefaced it with the children. But in verse 31, it begins, "When the Son of Man comes into his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. And they will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So we find ourselves at a moment of glory that's mentioned in the Apostles' Creed. For those of you not familiar with the Apostles' Creed, let me read it to you. There have been several songs written with this text, but let me read it to you. It comes from the early church. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Under Pontius Pilate, he was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. So that's kind of where we are with this passage. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, Catholic with a small c, designating all believers worldwide. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So we're looking at that part where it says he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And we're looking at a vision of what that may look like as recorded by the Apostle Matthew. You see, Jesus is no longer walking the dusty roads with his disciples. This is a picture of him no longer suffering, no longer despised by authorities, no longer hanging from a cross. He now sits on a glorious throne. All the people gathered before him. And it sounds like Matthew is kind of summing up his whole gospel writing, kind of like Cliff Notes. He's kind of, here's what it comes down to. And as you read that, if you're a casual reader, or perhaps someone who does not read it in context, it could be grossly misrepresented, could be misinterpreted to mean that Christianity really doesn't amount to anything other than good humanitarianism. It could be grossly misinterpreted that way. Kind of the idea that, well, all you got to do, you got to make a good list. I mean, you got to make a list of things to do that are good. And you need to keep track of all your efforts. Be sure and put the time and the date that you did your good deeds. That way, when you arrive at the pearly gates, you can present your list and say, I got my get into heaven free card. That would be a gross misinterpretation of this passage. If you'll look closer, what you find is that there are two groups considering the same list, but with different, far different perspectives. Looking at the outcome, we want to be the group on the right, not just because we get the little stuffed sheep, okay? we want to be the sheep. That's very clear from this passage of Scripture. The first group, the sheep, perhaps wearing their t-shirts with sheep printed on the front, or maybe a little Brooks Brothers shirt that has a little sheep monogram on it, okay? Maybe they go out and they did the following. According to Scripture, it says they provided food for the hungry, water for the thirsty, hospitality for the stranger, clothed the naked, treatment for the sick, visited the prisoners. The other group looked the other way. They looked the other way. It was inconvenient when they saw someone hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison. That's simple enough, isn't it? Pay attention, care for people or not. That's kind of how it opens up. But then there's a twist. Interesting twist. Both groups sheep and goats. Both groups were puzzled when Jesus said, I was the one. I was the one who was hungry. I was the one who was thirsty. I was the person you saw in need of clothes. I was the one who needed medical help. I was the one needing friendship. I was the prisoner. I was the one that you helped or whom you turned away from. It was me. So what's going on here? Both groups are puzzled. Why weren't the sheep aware of doing good deeds for Jesus? Perhaps they forgot their WWJD bracelets that day. I don't know. But for some reason, they were not aware. They could not see the face of Jesus in the people that they helped. Why is that? Apparently, they didn't. Look at verse 37 and 39 again. Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? When was it that we saw you sick or in prison and we visited you? Lord, when was it? They sound clueless. And these are the sheep. These are the good guys. So why are they clueless about it? There's been a lot written about that subject. I think for me, it kind of comes down to the enjoyment of a favorite thing. What's on your list? What are a few of your favorite things besides the raindrops on roses and baked apple strudel and the rest of the stuff that are in the song, you know? What are your favorite things? There are some people I know whose entire day is ruined if they don't get a fourth for bridge. Hello, Bill, we need a fourth. I'm not very good. We don't care. We just need a fourth. We can't play if you're not here. We don't care if you're any good or not. Matter of fact, better that you aren't. Come on, play bridge with us. You see, it's not in winning or losing. It's the act of playing. Being with other people, playing bridge. That they love to do that. The same heartfelt feeling is there for a few other favorite things. Take gardening, for example. For some people, gardening is considered manual labor. Not fun at all. Drudgery. Don't want to do it. Why would I even consider it? But for other people, gardening is one of the most rewarding things they can do. In good weather or in bad, they're out there, they're pulling weeds, they're digging, they're pruning, they're planting. They never miss the little workshops down at Home Depot on how to garden. I mean, they absolutely love to garden. And they would say, it isn't work. It isn't work for us. We love doing it. I love building things. The process of the construction is actually much more rewarding for me than the final product. The final product's kind of anticlimactic. Yeah, okay, well, it's done. What's the next project? You know, I mean, that's a few of my favorite things. What are your favorite things? What are some things that you really enjoy doing? I think that's a little insight into what's going on in this passage. How is it with the way that we like to help people? Do we enjoy helping people? Are we doing it for the love of God? Well, maybe not so much for the love of God as so much as the love of God in us, through us. There's a difference here that this passage kind of highlights. The helpers didn't say, I'm doing this for the love of Jesus. They didn't. What they did say is that they couldn't imagine not doing it, perhaps. Perhaps they would have said, well, anyone would have done the same. But obviously, there are some who wouldn't. It sounds like the sheep are just naturally good-hearted people, right? But according to 1 John 1:8, doing what comes naturally has its own problems. That verse says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Evidently, we've all got a little goat in us, whether we like it or not. We've all got a little bit, at least, in us that needs cleansing and needs forgiveness. No matter how good we are or we think we are, we all need God's leadership. We need God's forgiveness. We need to be good sheep, led by the Spirit, forgiven by God's grace. our hearts through Christ's Spirit are shaped and they're taught with the help of other believers. For that reason, we teach our children. We come to this place together to learn together, to draw encouragement from one another. But we teach our children at home and at church. We don't just throw them out in the pasture and say, well, I hope it works out for you. Life's tough out there. You better get used to it. No, we teach them first. We learn. We learn together that it's good and it's pleasant to be in God's house. And our purest enjoyment comes in walking with the light that Christ offers, learning about Him, becoming more like Him. In that way, we become more conformed to Christ so that our actions develop more spontaneously and are a blessing to others. We help others because that is who we are becoming in Christ. We serve others because we that are becoming more like Christ recognize that Christ dwells within us and is shaping our every thought, our every word, and our every action. The outcome, if we will do that, is described in John chapter 7, verse 38. It said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. And if you follow the imagery, the rivers of living water, the sheep, the 23rd Psalm, the image of being sheep led to water, it's a beautiful picture. You see, the goats never find the flowing waters. Instead, they dam them up and the water becomes stagnant. The sheep go along with the flow of the Spirit. They respond to the needs and they love doing it. It's just their favorite things to do. Not for personal material gain or for spiritual brownie points or for some kind of spiritual checklist, but because they simply love doing it as Christ dwells within them. So, what do we do with this list of things that Jesus gives us in this passage? Well, maybe we can look at it as a list of Jesus' favorite things. And hopefully with God's blessing and God's help, it will become our list of favorite things as well. When we have the heart for it, we find ourselves doing things to bless other people without even thinking about it. For example, you're in the doctor's office and you're reading a 2 or 3 year old People magazine. Not exactly current events, but anyway. You're reading this old magazine and you see someone walk in and it's a lady, she's having trouble. She can hardly get the door open, so you jump up and you go over and help her in. It's cold outside. She's having a hard time with her cane, and so as she sits on the couch there, you say, I'm getting ready to have a cup of coffee. Would you like one? And you fix her a cup of coffee and you sit down and she begins to pour out her problems to you. And you listen, not because you feel obligated, but because you want to. You want to be a blessing to her. Why? You mean I can't put that on my spiritual checklist? No, you don't want to. That's not the motivation. You do it because it's written on your heart, not on a checklist. You did it as a result of who you are becoming in Christ. And now you know how the sheep could be so completely unaware, so clueless in the outpouring of their Christian kindness. Sheep do it purely because it is because of who they are becoming in Christ. My prayer is that we would all be so sheepish. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, as your children, we say we want to be more like you. As believers, as Christians, Christ ones, we profess we want to become more like you. Father, we pray that as we open our hearts this morning, that you would show us that part within us, that element of goat in us that doesn't belong there. And we pray that we would give that back to you, that you would heal us of that, you would cleanse us of that, that you would remove that part of us, that sinful part of us that doesn't belong here. And as we do that, as we become new creations in Christ, that you would continue to nurture that within us and that we would continue to pour ourselves out to you to become more like you and desire, deeply desire, to become more like you. And as we do that, than our thoughts, our words, and our deeds would line up. That we truly would be the message because we are becoming more like you. Father, we pray for your strength. We pray for your forgiveness and your mercy as we seek to be sheep who follow you faithfully, recognizing we are dependent upon you and loving the fact that you care for us so much that you've given us the best shepherd we could ever have. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. This morning, if you are not a believer, if you don't have that relationship with the Good Shepherd, if you do not have that relationship with Jesus Christ, we invite you. We're going to stand and sing in just a minute. I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Or you can call me this week. I'll be glad to meet with you about that. If you're here and you are a believer, and perhaps you've got a little bit too much goat in you at this point, you can settle that right with you are where you are. You can pour that out to God. The altar will be open if you want to come here and pray. I'll be glad to pray with you if that's what you'd like. But settle that with God. Don't leave from here, you know, wondering. Go ahead and open your heart to him and let him show you those places that need to be corrected, that need to be surrendered to him. If you're here and you'd like to be a member at College Park, there's a lot of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that as well. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that now as we stand and sing together. Following the benediction response, I encourage you, as always, greet one another, encourage one another as we go out to our work and witness. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day, a chance to be in your house, to be with other believers, to fellowship together, to encourage one another, to receive teaching from your word. Father, we pray that as we go from this place that we have been changed, changed in a way that reflects more of you and less of us. God, we pray for your help this week. And as we point others to you, we'll give you the praise and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.